Is it on?
Look, hey, they about need the real stuff this time.
What do I need to click?
The microphone on?
Yeah.
Over there on the other side.
Right there, power.
Thank you.
Did I get it?
Yep.
Should we turn ours on?
Yep, we're on.
They're all on.
They're all on. Can we move this on this side? Or I'm gonna knock it off.
What do you need to move?
I just want this on this side. I'll knock it off. Thanks.
Okay.
I don't know. It's crooked. Does it look okay?
Yeah, you're fine. As long as you can see it.
If I want to see that, I need 4 more feet away. Okay. Everybody ready? At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of March 13th, 2023, and the time is now 6:01 p.m. Would you please turn your phones off or put them on silent or vibrate during the meeting, please? At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personnel matters or matters under litigation for a length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. Please give your name and address before you speak. No city council or commission board discussion or action may take place on a matter until such matter has been placed on the agenda and posted in accordance with the law. Is there anybody who signed up for public comments other than items for tonight?
I don't have anyone signed
up. Okay, thank you. Staff, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
None at all. Wow. Well, thank you. Okay. The consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of February 13th, 2023. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Okay. All right. Is there any discussion or correction to the minutes? Hearing none. Okay. Would you please call the roll for the vote?
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
You didn't ask for my vote.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
Commissioner Tang. We do it differently.
I know. Everybody does it differently. Okay. Thank you. New business, minor plat of Graham Road Estates, replat number one, or subdivision of 3.7491 acres, situated in the John M. Hooper Survey, A375, and William Hurd Survey, A378, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. We'll kind of treat these minor plats a little bit differently. So minor plats are non-action items.
Right.
So there's no need for you to make a motion or a vote on these. There are two minor plats for your consideration today, and those two plats are the Graham Road Estates replat number one and Tomball PD lot. As I stated, they are minor plats, so they do not require your action. These plats were reviewed by city staff, who found that they were consistent with Chapter 40, Article 2, which are subdivision standards, and we are going to be approving these plats with no conditions. They were included in your packets, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to discuss the plats individually if you'd like. If not, then we will carry on with the discussion.
Does anybody have any questions or anything? All right. Seeing none. You have two plats, the Graham Road, and then the Tomball PD, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, new business. Consideration to approve the final plat of Grand Parkway Town Center, being a subdivision of a 65.3516 acre tract of land being in the William C. Hall Survey, abstract number 1639, and in the William Perkins Survey, abstract number 621, and in the T.A. Duclos Survey, abstract number 1473, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon. My name is Jared Smith. I am the city planner for the City of Tomball. I did not mention that previously. The first plat for your consideration is Grand Parkway Town Center. This is a final plat, which is located in the southwest corner of State Highway 249 and State Highway 99. The current zoning for this property is a plan development number 10. It is a plan development that is intended to promote a range of commercial retail services at this corner. There are seven lots that are going to be created by this final plat, and the acreage is 65.35. Here is a graphic representation of that subdivision plat for your consideration. This plat was reviewed by city staff, who found that it was consistent with Chapter 40, Part 2 of our code of ordinance, which are the subdivision standards. And we are recommending approval to you all this evening, subject to the one condition that prior recording the plat, all of the required public improvements associated with this subdivision must be installed in accordance with approved construction plans, or a suitable financial guarantee needs to be provided to the city engineer in an amount deemed necessary and appropriate to cover the overall cost of the public improvements associated with this subdivision plot. Happy to answer any questions you may have regarding this plot this time.
It's an older picture. I mean, they have certain the sideline picture. So that's the west. Northwest corner, is that intersection right?
Southwest.
Oh, southwest, okay, thank you. All right, that's why I was confused. Got it.
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you. Okay, may I have a motion to approve the final plat of Grand Parkway Town Center?
I move we approve Grand Parkway Town Center final plat with contingency as stated by staff.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Okay. Is there any questions or discussion in addition to the staff? None? Okay. Would you please call the roll?
Sure. Commissioner Tank?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Consideration to approve the preliminary plat of Rayburn Reserve, Section 3, being a subdivision of 33.7724 acres out of the Jesse Pruitt, A269, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, and being a partial replat of Reserve G of Rayburn Reserve, Section 1, recorded under FC number 692320 HCMR. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Thank you. I'll be presenting Rayburn Reserve Section 3. This is a preliminary plat of the third section of Rayburn Reserve, as the name might imply. That's located in the 800 to 900 blocks of South Persimmon Street on the east side. This property is within Plan Development District Number 12, which is a PD that is intended to promote single-family residential developments with lots that range, minimum lot sizes that range from 5,500 to 6,000 square feet in area. The lots that are being preliminary platted are 140 residential lots. The acreage is 33.77. Here's the graphic representation of this Section 3 preliminary plat for Rayburn Reserve. This plat was reviewed by city staff, who did find that it was consistent with Chapter 40, Article 2 of our Code of Ordinance, which are the subdivision standards. And city staff is recommending approval to you all this evening, subject to the condition that prior to a final plat being approved or recorded, construction plans need to be submitted to the City of Tomball for review and approval by the city engineer, and then ultimately those improvements need to be put in place for suitable financial guarantee provided to the city prior to the final plat being approved and recorded by the city. Happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
All right. May I have a motion? motion to approve the preliminary plat of Rayburn Suburb, Reserve, rather, Section 3 with contingencies.
Move to approve with contingencies as stated by staff.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there any discussion or questions of staff?
I guess I'm, haven't we been the last few times similar size neighborhoods and similar size lots have been pretty much shot down? So what's the difference between those that we've done and this one?
Well, those are instances where we were considering zoning for the property. Mm-hmm. This zoning has already been approved.
It's already been approved.
Previously by council and this commission.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tague?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. F3, consideration to approve preliminary plat of Tim Littlefield LLC being a commercial subdivision of 3.951 acres of land in the Jesse Pruitt survey. A629 Harris County, Texas, being a partial replat of lots 284 and 286 of Tomball Outlots as recorded in volume 2, page 65, and in the corrected map recorded in volume 4, page 75 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. The next plat for your consideration is Tim Littlefield LLC preliminary plat. This property is located in the northwest corner of Ag Road and South Percentage Street. The zoning for this property is currently light industrial. The plat is creating two lots, and it does comprise 3.95 acres of land. Here is the graphic representation of the Tim Littlefield LLC subdivision plat. And this plat was reviewed and found to be consistent with Chapter 40.2 of our Code of Ordinance, which are the subdivision standards, and city staff is recommending approval to you all this evening, subject to the conditions that I have outlined on this slide, which are similar to the previous conditions. You know, they're relating to the need to submit construction plans for the public improvements associated with the subdivision plat, and then prior to a final plat being approved and recorded by the city, and ultimately those improvements needing to be in place or a financial guarantee provided prior to the final plat being approved and recorded. And then I do have two other conditions, one being that I need a letter of no objection from all required utility providers, which is a requirement for all plat applications that come through the city of Tomball, and I also need an up-to-date title opinion or title commitment letter, which confirms ownership of this property prior to us approving the final plat. Happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve preliminary plat of Tim Littlefield LLC with contingencies?
I move we approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there any questions or discussion of staff or the applicant?
So I have just one.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Light industrial, but it's still considered a subdivision. But it's
yes.
Only going to be two. The land is divided into two
lots.
Two,
right. So
yeah.
The term subdivision is
not for
kind
houses.
Of an all-encompassing term. Anytime you plat a property, it's technically a subdivision plat. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a residential subdivision.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other
Thank
questions?
Thank you.
Anybody else have any other questions? Seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tague?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Consideration to approve the final plat of Tomball South Commercial Number 3, a subdivision of 7.1229 acres, B being all of Lot 2 and a portion of Reserve B, Block 1 of Tomball South Commercial, a subdivision in Harris County, Texas, according to the map or plat thereof recorded in Film Code number 632199 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we please have your presentation?
Yes, ma'am. And the final plat for your consideration this evening is Tomball South Commercial number 3. This is a final plat located in 21,300 block of Spencorville Road on the west side. The zoning for this property is currently light industrial. This plat has created 6 total lots that in the total acreage comprised of the subdivision is 7.12 acres. Here is the graphic representation of the Tomball South Commercial number 3 final plat. And this plat, much like all the other plats, are found to be consistent with Chapter 40, Article 2 of our Code of Ordinance, which are the subdivision standards. And city staff is recommending approval to you all this evening, subject to the conditions that I have outlined in the slide, which, much like the other plats, is pertaining to the need for them to submit construction plans to be approved by the city engineer prior to the final approval and recording. And then ultimately, all of the necessary public improvements associated with the subdivision plat need to be installed in accordance with those approved construction plans, and or a financial guarantee provided to the city engineer for the cost associated with covering the cost, the overall cost of the improvements. Excuse me. Costs.
Okay.
That's if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Should I have a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
This is due. We haven't had this before on the financial guarantees. Could you explain that? Because it's been in each one of them.
Yes, ma'am. So this is kind of a standard practice for subdivisions. So when you approve a subdivision plan, really what you're doing is you're approving the layout of the subdivision in a nutshell. So they still have to submit, as these conditions imply, construction plans to the city engineer that detail how the roads are going to be constructed, how the water utilities, how the sewer utilities, how the gas utilities are all going to be extended throughout the subdivision to service each lot. Now, one of two things has to happen before this plat that you've approved tonight is recorded in the county clerk's office. They approve all of that per the specs that the construction plans show. So they put the roads in, they put the utility lines all in, and then they bring a final plat to us to have you sign, and then they take it to the county clerk's office to be recorded. Or what they can also do to expedite the recording process, they can post a bond. What that does is it ensures that those improvements will be put in place somehow, some way. In the event that they were to skip out of town, which is very unlikely, We have the money in the bank, essentially, as a city, to contract out someone else to go put the utilities in so that we have a subdivision plat that's on record, that's properly served by all the appropriate facilities. So the code allows for either one of those paths to be taken. Either you put the improvements in place or you post a bond to cover the cost. And what that really does is it frees up. It goes ahead and gets the plat recorded so they can start selling off lots while they're putting the infrastructure in the ground, is what it really boils down to. Once you have a recorded plat, you can get plans submitted to the city and approved for the construction of the buildings itself, but you cannot do that until you have a recorded plat. So it's a way to keep the ball rolling while they're putting the infrastructure in the ground, if that makes sense.
So is that a cash guarantee?
Yes, it's a bond.
Bond.
Yes, it's good as cash.
Right. It's like insurance.
Yes, ma'am.
Got it.
Essentially, it's another hammer. It allows staff to ensure that public roads that we're going to accept as public infrastructure is done properly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you.
I mean, we don't have any that don't get it.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right.
You did a great job.
Y'all did a great job. I got covered all the way around. Okay. Does anybody have any questions or anything else? Okay. Would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tang?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. zoning case CUP 23-01, a request by Idea Code Investments LLC, represented by Michael Pierce, for a conditional use permit to allow market open air land use within Old Town and mixed use zoning. The property is legally described as being lot 17 through 24 in block 18 of the revised zoning map of Tomball, located at the southwest corner of Commerce Street and Oak Street at 401 to 409 Commerce Street within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. My name is Jared Smith. I'm the city planner for the city of Tomball. I'll be presenting CUP 2301. Here's a location map, an aerial location map, which is highlighting the subject property. It's cross-hatched in yellow. This property is approximately 0.46 acres, located in the southwest corner of the intersection of North Oak Street and Commerce Street at 401 to 409 Commerce Street. This property has been within the city limits of Tomball since 1907. The property is comprised of 8 total lots. Lots 17 through 21 are currently vacant. Lots 22 through 24 are occupied by structures that have existed on those lots since at least 1941, according to Harris County Appraisal District records. The reason for this request, the applicants are requesting a conditional use permit to allow an open air market. Many of you may recall back in 2022, City Council approved an amendment to the City of Tomball's Code Ordinance to define what an open air market land use is, as well as require the approval of a conditional use permit for open air markets to operate in the Old Town Mixed Use Zoning District. So the open air market is defined as being a temporary outdoor marketplace where two or more vendors that are on private property where produce, merchandise, food, or other products are distributed, offered for sale, or sold directly to consumers. So it's essentially much like a farmer's market. The conditional use permit does provide for an opportunity to further consider whether a particular land use is appropriate for a given site. And where such uses are deemed to be appropriate, a conditional use permit does provide opportunity to require certain conditions that promote the compatibility of the proposed use with the surrounding properties and land uses. So let's talk about the surrounding land uses. To the north of the subject site and to the east are existing single-family residences within Old Town mixed-use zoning. Immediately to the west of the site is an existing office as well as residential use within Old Town mixed use. And then on the south side of this site, just south of the alley, are lots that front on West Main Street. And these are made up of a range of commercial uses at this time, also within the Old Town mixed use zoning district. Here are a few photographs of the subject property and the surrounding properties to kind of give you an idea of the character of the area. The topmost left photo is a photo of the subject property as well as the top middle photo, and the remaining photos are in the adjacent properties. Current zoning map identifying that the subject property does currently fall within the Old Town Mixed Use Zoning District and has been within the zoning district since the city adopted zoning in 2008. You also will notice that all of the surrounding properties in this area also fall within this Old Town mixed use zoning designation. According to our code ordinance, this OTMU zoning district is intended to provide a zoning mechanism for a variety of uses within the original town site of Tomball. And according to the city of Tomball's code of ordinance, the Old Town mixed use district is an area in which many diverse land uses currently exist, and the nature of this area, therefore, is to promote a mixture of retail, commercial, and other non-residential uses alongside single-family and multi-family uses. Those are residential. The comprehensive plan endorses the continuation of this mixture of land uses in the area and specifically states that retail, office, single-family, duplex, and multi-family uses are the most appropriate land uses in this area. Additionally, the subject property is essentially half a block north of West Main Street, which is a major arterial street identified on this map. This is often considered the heart of downtown Tomball, and it is customary to find a wide range of retail and entertainment opportunities at locations that are in such close proximity to Main Street, that have direct access to Main Street. Future land use plan, which is identifying that the subject property does currently fall within the old old town land use category, excuse me. This land use category is intended to create a highly walkable environment that promotes a distinct sense of place. Land uses should consist of a mixture of residential, office, retail, entertainment, restaurant, or public facilities. The desire to establish an open-air market at this location will promote the comprehensive plan's community livability goals, specifically by providing a variety of retail and entertainment opportunities within the Old Town Town Hall area and in close proximity to nearby residential neighborhoods. This proximity to downtown residential neighborhoods further encourages the comprehensive plan's objective of creating a mixture of land uses within a dynamic, walkable environment. Additionally, the request achieves the goal of creating opportunities to promote Old Town Town Hall and specifically local entrepreneurship within the Old Town area, while encouraging an event that will attract people to the community and provide opportunity for residents to socialize and fellowship. Here's a conceptual illustration that was provided by the applicant at the time of submitting their application. I do believe that this is really just conceptual in nature. It is kind of fluid. It may, the arrangement of the vendors themselves, which are the tiny white squares on this graphic, may likely change when it's all said and done. I believe he's actually already drafted an alternative concept plan, but just to kind of give you an idea of the general layout of the site. Notification map. City staff did send notification letters to all owners of properties within 300 feet of the subject property, and we have received zero responses in favor and zero in opposition at this time. This request to receive a conditional use permit for open-air market land use on the subject property is in direct alignment with the intent of the Old Town Mixed-Use Zoning District. It also promotes the goals and objectives of our current comprehensive plan. Taking that in consideration along with other facts that have been stated during this presentation, staff is recommending approval of CUP 2301, subject to the conditions that I have outlined on this slide. So these will effectively become part of the ordinance that govern the development of this property with this CUP. So those are: the hours of operation will be limited to 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. No more than 12 outdoor vendors, booths, or tents will be permitted on the property. Restroom facilities must be provided during the open-air market hours of operation. Those restrooms may be provided either on-site or within adjacent businesses located within the boundaries of the conditional use permit, and portable restroom facilities are prohibited. Also, this site will have to be developed in accordance with Section 50-116, which are our standards that govern temporary outdoor sales, with one exception being in that section of our code, it requires outdoor sales have to be 12 feet of a main building in Old Town area. In the Old Town area, in this instance, there may not be a main building on these lots. They are just vendor booths, right? So that's the reason for the exception there. And then we are asking that an opaque fence or wall be provided along the westernmost boundary of Lot 17. That is the existing office slash residential use property. We felt like that would be appropriate to kind of provide a little bit of privacy between this market and that existing use. And then we also are asking that the booths or the outdoor sales or vendors meet the residential setback standards within Old Town Mixed Use. And what you'll find is those really don't exist for the most part, right? So there is no setback from front, rear, or side setbacks when you're adjacent to commercial uses. But when you're adjacent to residential, which may very well be the case on that western boundary of Lot 17, we're asking that they be set back at least 20 feet, again, in an effort to try to provide some sort of buffering, a bit of privacy to the residences that live there, the residents who live in that. But taking all that in consideration, we are recommending approval to you all, subject to these conditions, which are a bit lengthy, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
All right, thank you. Will the applicant please come forward, present your case, state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Michael Pierce. I live at 13607 Arcot Bend, Tomball, Texas, 77377. And I have a revised plan I can give you. Jared had showed us the some of the concerns about some of the trucks and tents would be as opposed to the offices that are next to it. So we actually revised that to make it a little bit better. So yeah, we are trying to build a little art market and food vendor space on what has been basically a vacant lot for as long as I've been in Tomball, which is 20 years. And I have six retail locations. I between rent out and run myself in Old Town Hall. So I'm on Main Street of Old Town Hall 7 days a week running my shop. So I have, feel like I have a real, next to maybe Scott, have a real pulse on what Old Town Hall is like to be and work and be in. And one of the conclusions we've come to years ago was that people love tents. Me, and I say that because the farmer's market brings a ton of people. And as a store owner, we can literally twiddle our thumbs all week long. And then those tents come out and then people come out to see them, right? So we want to bring more of that kind of that market life to town. Also, the our market will be open other days besides just Saturday for those few days. We'll be open on Sundays as we grow, probably maybe a few nights during the week as we grow. And this is really going to be a market space that people can utilize during the week as well. For like spring break, for instance, today we would have market going on, whereas we normally don't. There'll be limited vendors, so it won't be too crazy of a deal. We're excited about it. When we did do it there for a while, the community was really on board with it. They were coming out, and we had young artists and crafters and stuff coming out. It was really cool. One of the also fun things about there, not fun, but sort of serendipitous thing about this is we're about to lose our little art market on Main Street. That's been there for 20 plus years. That landlord is moving them on. And so it's a bunch of elderly and retired artists, and they have no place to go. No locations in Old Town Hall for them to rent, period. So what this will do is allow, they can come on a Saturday, set up their little tent, sell their art, and it gives them a place to do this. And otherwise, really, we have no more real estate in Old Town Hall. So we're trying to use this as sort of a floating market that people can come in and go. And then on the other side of that, we want to bring in some food trucks, very minimal. We only want to do about two or three. And my goal on that is to bring some affordable food options to town. I live and work here in Old Town Hall, and Scott, I can't even afford to eat in Old Town Hall, you know. If you do something a little less. So we're trying to bring a little bit more affordable foods, but that will still be high-end food stuff, but just something that a guy like me can go and get a burger and maybe be out quickly and inexpensive. So we want to do that. The art market, we're going to light it up. It's going to be really, really beautiful. But we do want to kind of start small, and now, if approved, because it may not work. You know, Old Town Hall is not a guaranteed. I've been here again for 4 years running a shop. You're not going to get rich here. So we're trying to start and do something where we can start small and grow as we need to. So the only exceptions to this that I have a little bit of an issue with is the fence line. You know, we feel that fence, especially if you know this area, I have jokingly called that alley that vagrant alley. If you know this area, this is a place where homeless and people kind of hang out. So by putting a fence there, I feel like that becomes like a little hidey hole. You know, it becomes like a little spot for people to sleep. And we've already had to kick multiple people off of this property for sleeping. They've been doing it for a long time. So we don't like the idea of a barrier that you can't see through, because that creates a hiding spot and sort of a sleeping quarters, honestly. Also, the one resident that's on that side is on the second floor. They have a little small engine repair below, and they live upstairs. So that fence is gonna do nothing for their privacy. So that's our only thing, is we'd like to kind of forego that. And we've also now moved the trucks away from that side to also kind of give them a break. We're going to actually back those up to what I call Vagrant Alley, which will kind of like, the alley is the bad part of that whole spot. So by the trucks being backed up to there, they'll be aesthetic. And then the alley, which is just full of trash cans and honestly bombs and stuff and cats. There's like 20, 30 cats over there. So we're trying to kind of spruce up the area, beautify it. And again, I feel like we kind of, we live and work all around there. We kind of know that area really well. And we don't want to do anything that would harm that. We want to leave all the trees. We don't want to get in there and do a lot of construction because we like the trees. It's a cool little park area. But anyway, that's my presentation. Sorry for rambling. If you have any questions, just let me know.
I got questions.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Yep.
We got a mic. Okay. Thank you. I have to call the public hearing first, and then we will bring you back up to speed. Thank you very much. Okay, the public hearing on case CUP 20-01 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:34. If there's anyone here who would like to speak regarding this request, you will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anybody who wrote in?
I do not.
Called in?
No.
We don't have anybody here. I'm sorry, could you speak up a little bit or speak close to the mic?
Hi, my name's...
That's okay.
My name's Chad Holloway. I live at 1519 Pinehurst. Co-road Pinehurst, Texas. I'm used to public speaking. I do apologize.
That's okay.
I have gone out and vended there before, and I can tell you it really is a positive thing that this is going to bring to the community. I haven't heard anything bad about it from anyone who's visited. And I really do feel like it's a great outlet for people to, be creative and bring that out and show it to people, in their own way and however they do it with their craft.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chad Hathaway.
Okay. All right. Can I give you a time of
mm-hmm.
I did.
Yes.
Okay.
16.
All right. Let the record now show the public hearing is now closed and the time is 6:36 p.m. There are no additional comments, and the public hearing was closed at 6:36 p.m. Could I have a motion now to approve case CUP 23-01?
I move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion or questions of the applicant?
Yes.
Would the applicant please come to the podium?
So, let's talk about Vagrant Alley for a minute.
And I apologize if I offended you.
You're not offending me. as a pointer, I might change the name of that alley if you're trying to sell this a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. Is to sort of.
I'd like to go. That's can what you go back to the pictures of the adjoining properties? I just want to point out. I don't know if people are aware or not. About 2 months ago, we had a break-in in our restaurant along with three other businesses in Old Town. On a Sunday. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. I could have easily have been there. It wouldn't have been unusual for me to be there at all. Well, come to find out, the people that broke into our restaurant and Whistle Stop and Honor Society Coffee, that property on the east side right there, they were living in the...
They were living in their house.
They were squatting on that house.
Which one? The blue house?
The property east.
One.
On the back.
In the neighboring property east.
Yeah, neighboring property. They were, those people that broke into all these businesses were living, and then they found out.
And those are Hudson properties across the street,
correct,
from us. Those are not ours.
So I say that to point out that my personal opinion is the more development is that we have here, that might inspire the property owner there to shake that thing up a little bit and turn it into a business that we want, which would make it less likely for vagrants to hang out. I would change the name of your alley.
Well, I've given that name as a joke because of those reasons. We know those people are sleeping there. We know they sleep in this alley. This is me trying to point that out, if anything. Yeah, we don't plan on actually going to the street side on that. But yeah, that's just my point is this place has been dilapidated, and we're trying to beautify it and help. But we do need Hudson's on the corner there to step up as well. And he has told me that once we're done and he sees that we do well, he wants to put a little deli or something. So he has said that too. So
I think it's great. Parking. What happened to the parking plan?
So, because we're in Old Town, we've been told two things. We don't just like none of the other places around have to have parking. So we didn't. We were kind of happy to find that out. We have all that is kind of gravel. It was used for parking for years, but we don't have to have the parking because it's in the Old Town mixed use. So. We prefer not to have cars there as well. They mess up the trees. The trees over there have had years and years of cars parking there, so we're trying to give the little park a break and let it kind of come back to life. So there is gravel there, so that is cool for the trucks to park on there. The food trailers is really, we're not really gonna have trucks per se, it's gonna be trailers. So we're trying to, since we don't have to have parking just like any of the other businesses around, we're gonna try not to do that if we can.
I know the food trailers,
issues.
And, yeah, oh, separate, you have separate applications there. And even though you had barbecue outfits selling chopped brisket sandwiches on your property last Saturday, I'm not offended by anything.
Oh, I did not.
Somebody did over there.
No, not on my property.
Well, it was on the blue bonnet right in front of their front yard.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah,
yeah. Sure.
No, I told them not that, and actually, I knew one of the art vendors would have done that, and that made me upset.
And there are five other places in Old Town Tomball within 5 blocks to get burgers, so
There's still
no shortage of burgers.
There's still $20, though.
So, we actually sell a $9 burger. You should come in and check it out.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If you can get me out there for $9, you got it.
I'm trying to help you sell this thing, but you might work on offending less people.
Excuse me.
And sell the fruit.
Okay, I got your attention. You cannot discuss. Your price is your business, Scott.
Gotcha. That's sorry.
I apologize.
Let's see.
That's why they usually don't let me talk.
No, I don't mind if you talk.
The other question I have is, I noticed we're putting a restriction on the number of tents at 12. The farmer's market's got 60, probably. Well, explain to me the difference there and why we would not restrict the farmer's market on the number of tents and why we would.
I don't think Jared was restricting this. I think we actually threw that number.
You did it yourself, okay.
Yeah, because we were trying to, we were in the impression, if I'm honest, that, you know, maybe this would not be approved. And so we're trying to be as minimalistic as we can because we want to, we think it's a good thing. But, and plus, we're really more, we're not trying to get too many vendors over there anyway, honestly. I don't really want it to be too many. You know, it's just, we want it to be kind of a low-key thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm supportive. I think it's great. I just want to clarify this, why that restriction.
Yeah, that's me just trying to really just to be minimalistic.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm already, we're not going to get approved.
I'm voting for it. I'll tell you all that.
I have some questions.
Yes, go ahead.
So on the restrooms, it says we either use somebody else's or they'll provide. Is that correct? I mean, we can't just go into a neighbor's.
No, so this, can I answer? Is that okay?
Yeah, somebody, yeah.
That's fine, I can follow up.
Okay, yeah, so we're turning, and I didn't realize it was two separate applications. I only paid for one, so I'm not sure how that worked, but, so we're turning this kind of whole thing in as a I don't know the word for it, but a project. So I own all the properties on this, so the restrooms and the wine bar and the blue bonnet, and then the Weird Sister Boutique are part of this whole sort of plan.
You own all that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is all. Okay. So these are my properties, and so when we did our lease with these people, we said as this gets approved, we all kind of all work together. So they're excited because it brings business to them.
Okay.
And my main goal is to bring business to them. So yeah, the restroom, there's two restrooms in the green building mm-hmm. called the Weird Sister. There's one restroom in the blue bonnet. And then I have my restroom in the Cloud Chief store across the street that people are more than welcome to use as well.
Okay.
So we have plenty of restrooms on site that they can use. And so yeah, this is all one big plan with all the buildings that are mine.
And I have a couple of questions. So the residents around this area, there's one that you said is upstairs. Is there any, how close are the other residents? Less than 300 feet or 300 feet?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
In the residence?
Much less.
And nobody had a comment on anything? So would you be able to have music there? And
we're not planning on doing music outside or anything like that. We have a flute player, low-key, mm-hmm. acoustic guitar maybe. But we have our little honky-tonk building, which there will be music inside of that.
Okay.
That's our music venue. But that's indoors. It's not outdoors. And that's on the corner. We've been doing that since we got approved by the city over there, and we've had no complaints, and we're respectful. And there's two houses on Commerce Street only. I've gone to both of them in previous times, and the one guy said he could basically care less what I do. Mm-hmm. And then the girl in the corner actually opens up her windows and likes to listen to the music when she can over there when we play, but I'm not sure she can even hear it from there. But I think they seem to be excited about just, again, not having, mm-hmm. and again, I'm sorry, but it's just the truth, not having vagrants sleeping in the yard. Mm-hmm. So I think they're happy with any development that's taking place over there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I have a question. Commissioner Ross.
So many questions I've had have been answered. So this takes off, and you can, and you have a waiting list for vendors, let's say. You've got, I don't know, another 12 stacked up. Is there any regulation that addresses how many vendors per square feet lot that could go on here? And if you're limiting yourself to 12, and I understand that, but then you decide 4 months from now, this summer, oh gosh, this has been so huge so fast, we need to add 8-10 more vendors, and we have room to. How does that work?
Great questions. Yeah, so he will be limited to 12, which is what he had requested originally, and it's not per lot, there's 8 lots, it's not per lot, it's within the boundaries of the CUP.
Okay.
So we worded that in such a way that there wouldn't be any confusion.
Okay.
Is it 12 per lot, or is it 12 total? It's 12 total.
For this entire site that has been presented
right.
to us.
Correct. And if the day comes and Mr. Pierce is doing very well and he's got a waiting list and he wants 8 more.
He can come back.
He would need another CUP. We have to go back through the same song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
A
That's
new
what
CUP,
I thought.
We would add the stipulation to how many vendors. We just changed the vendors, the number
right.
of vendors to what he would like, and it would have to go through
okay.
the same sort of approval process.
And then I do have one more question. I understand about the parking, and I understand the town center and the mixed use and how all that works. And hopefully the city will have some more parking and down that way one day. On your project lot, on your site, moving people around, you don't have sidewalks. So as I'm asking both you and both the city, and maybe even the police, as these people walk, because I've been over, you know, usually you're just parking, jumping off the curb, and you're running into one place or another, but this offers a multiple venue. What about people moving safety? Is that an issue?
It's a great question. So I think it's important to understand for everyone here that if this were approved and he were ready to move forward, he needs to submit a site plan to the city for us to review and approve.
Right.
Anytime you develop a commercial site, you have to submit plans to the city that show how you're going to lay out the mobile food trucks in this instance, or you know, the arrangement of the tents in this instance, because he has to show that he has compliance with this conditional use permit. And typically, with any site plan, is when we get sidewalk improvements as well. That's a conversation that we'll have to have when we get to the site planning process, but that is a requirement for commercial projects that you include sidewalks along the street frontage prior to you having final approval from the city to begin operating a commercial business. And the same holds true here today.
So we have a sidewalk that comes up from the Honky Tonk. It doesn't show it on this, but that's all concrete. In front of the Honky Tonk, straight up through the Weird Sister, they've actually put down a whole, pavers, or big pavers, comes all the way up into, and then that's all graveled out there. Sidewalk, like if we were to put a sidewalk all along that Commerce Street, that would be, again, I mean, for something that we're not quite sure how lucrative it's going to be or how long that would be an issue that we would want to talk about, especially when we could probably point out a lot of options around town, especially in the close vicinity that don't seem to have that same requirement. But that would be, we could easily make it where people can walk up on a sidewalk or be there, but we would want to talk about that, you know.
To answer your question, it is a requirement for commercial development.
I understand.
We will figure out during the site planning process.
I understand.
I'm
kind of like going a couple of steps forward already.
Yeah, I
sorry.
Yeah. Well, they have those issues with the two getting their approvals with the other two. And the sidewalk we have was, as long as it was accessible to walk up, and they could get there, and that was approved. So hopefully we'll be able to look at some creative ways that we can adhere to what you want, but also not go like over crazy with money. So, you know, again, we're trying to do something good for the community on a relatively low key budget. So, you know, until we see if it works.
All right. So, do you have any other questions? Do you have any other questions, Scott?
On hours of operation, what is it? 7 to 10? I think
7 to
10. That's
7 in the morning?
7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
7 days a week, basically.
As written today.
Yes.
So we have no problem with that.
Okay, well, the question I have about that is, you know, the farmer's market is 4 hours, and I think that's by design. That's by, I think it's a state law on the farmer's market. We're allowed to operate for 4 hours. I don't know if that's different than an open-air market.
Yeah, I would wager it's because of produce and food setting out, and
mm-hmm.
whereas if you're talking about art, I don't think it would be an issue. So, you know, art and crafts and things like that. So the food trucks would have their health codes that would govern that. But I would wager it's because they don't want the produce outside for over for the art.
It would be state law.
I think that's the reason.
Yeah. Well, I know she's super proud of the farmer's market designation they have, and there's a lot of rules that go along with that. So I would bet it was one of those. But yeah, any other market, I see no reason why I couldn't be outdoors for longer.
I think you should check into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would before you get too far along, here.
Yeah.
There's some guidance on that out there.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but on private property, I can't imagine anybody telling somebody they can't sell inside for 4 hours, more than 4 hours, sell them art. That would seem ludicrous to me, but I mean, maybe there's a rule
okay.
of law somewhere.
All right. Does anybody else have any other questions?
Yes.
Do you have some? Richard,
yes.
Go ahead.
I realize this is not an official site plan, given there's no measurements on this.
Yes,
but,
sir.
You have 12 irregular squares. Here, are those your tents?
Where it says that's art market. Those are the tents, yes.
So the art market,
yes,
where your tents are?
It's supposed to be like Art Deco design, but
I'm trying to figure out where your tents are going.
Yeah, so that's where the tents are. Those are why we're going to require the same uniform.
Because that's
tent.
Six. Art
yeah, no,
six.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just that's six. Then we're going to have them spread out kind of throughout.
And then you realize you have like 12 irregular brown squares here.
Those are the booths. Those are.
And then you have three more irregular shapes here.
Those are benches for people to sit in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was a little rushed today. I have three children. They go three different things. I have three jobs. This was, I'm sorry, this is the best I've
ever done. I apologize. You know, I just wanted to.
I was hard pressed to get this.
We're not going to hold it to the cartoon drawing.
No.
Okay.
As long as I have these little brown squares on there.
I'm just trying to figure out on your lot.
Yeah, so those are seating. And again, I was not aware of the two different CPUs. So I was mainly doing this all as one. So those are the seating requirements that are required for the food truck.
Okay.
All those little, they're benches, essentially.
Oh,
so
okay.
Those are all the benches throughout.
So you have a 20-foot barrier between
you in the west.
This office building here and his property? Is that
we are, by condition, we are asking that any vendors, booths, tents, food trucks be at least 20 feet from that boundary, given that it could be utilized as a residence tomorrow.
That's okay. Right.
And then he has to have an opaque fence on this side?
That's what we're asking.
And then he has to fence this off here along
the
alley? No, he does not.
Just that western
district. Okay, all right.
Okay.
That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, I have some questions regarding the fence.
Yes.
Is that a fence that has to be up permanently while he's using this for that those uses, or is that one he can put up and take down?
It would have to be a permanent fence. So
okay.
6-foot fence or wall.
Okay. All right, I have some questions. I have a lot of film, very familiar with this property since my shop was in the front building on Main Street.
What shop was
and,
that?
And
what shop was
Red
that?
Awning.
Okay, cool.
Dapple Barrel. We were there for 7 years.
Okay.
And my concern is the flooding because that parking lot area floods. The water has always come across that area. I'm also concerned about the parking because you're not going to use that for parking, and even when we use it for parking, you can get maybe, if you're lucky, and it's not raining, you can get maybe 8 cars in there, 10, depending on what size they are. But at the same time, what about your impact on the parking around that area? I'm already getting a lot of phone calls over the years about the parking in that area because the businesses that are currently there are not able to get there. I'm also getting calls, and I would like to address your bathroom issue at the same time about the fact that you have a business on the green building upstairs, and they don't have a restroom.
Okay, so first of all, flooding. I'm super familiar with the flooding problem in Old Tomball. My building on Cloud Chief across the street
on what street?
On Main Street, on Pine, right across the street from this, floods out every time it rains.
Okay, which building do you have?
313 West Main, and also three.
What's businesses in there?
It's called Cloud Chief & Co. and then the Terrarium. There are two businesses right on Main.
You're
every time it
street.
Rains, we flood. Like, so we have the worst flooding on all of Main Street. And ever since the city put the new alley back in the back there, we actually, and that's going to be another thing we're going to be addressing in the future, we actually are flooding even worse. Like, my shop is about to be ruined by the flooding on the opposite side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
One of the beautiful things about this property, after I bought it, since all these heavy rains, there has been no flooding. So that's obviously somehow been remedied since what you're experiencing. We have had zero flood problem over there on that alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
The only alley that floods is my alley across the street. All the others are high and dry during the rain.
So you're on the south side of Main?
We're on the south side. This north side is
and you've got the terrarium.
High and dry. Yeah,
I know where that is.
Those are mine as well. So we're high and dry over here flooding-wise. I've not seen 1 ounce of problem there. We've monitored that closely. You get a little puddle inside of this that kind of forms, just a, mm-hmm. it goes away. But yeah, there's no flooding on this area, to my knowledge. I think the properties that rent on that Main Street, the landlords don't take care of the roofs, and they get mold and stuff that goes inside of them.
Okay,
like the
that's line. Not an issue I want to discuss.
No, I'm saying not maybe like this mold.
I know,
mold and
but what I'm asking
yeah,
you.
No flooding, though, that I'm aware of. So that we have to, on that.
So secondly, if we make you have to, what if we require you, and I would like to add this, I believe if you're going to use that area for parking, it needs to have gravel in there.
It is gravel, yeah, it's
well,
gravel.
Well, I want to make sure it's got
yeah,
a lot
so
of gravel.
It's gravel, it's been used for a parking lot, like you said, forever, but I did not buy this property to allow it to be a parking lot for the city. So I don't think it's right, and I understand everyone's
no, I'm just saying if you're going to use it for your business, then you should
yeah,
consider
but,
making a parking lot. Yes,
I mean,
sir.
The businesses that are
excuse me, parking. Staff is going to address it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here to talk about the land use only.
Okay.
Is an open air market appropriate? Yes or no?
Got it.
Drainage, not relevant to zoning.
Mm-hmm. But
parking, okay. Let's talk about that. The code of ordinance does not require parking. At all
mm-hmm.
in this area.
For an open air?
At all for this area. So if someone came in tomorrow and built a Tejas,
mm-hmm.
or built a State Farm, they would not be required to provide parking. At all.
In the Old Town area?
From the railroad tracks to Pine and from Fannin to Houston,
mm-hmm.
you do not require, there's no requirement for off street parking in the city of Tomball. It's one of the glorious things about downtown Tomball. For better or for worse, that is the way that the code is written.
Okay, we will discuss that later.
So for open air market is what we're here to discuss this evening.
But I understand the adjacent buildings that used to use it for parking are upset about the parking being taken away, but we really want it to be a park that's pretty and beautiful.
I understand that, but my question to you is, I'm concerned about how are we going to handle the bathrooms?
Secondly,
situation.
The information you're given about the business on top of the restroom, that's false, as well as the flooding problem over there. And I do, with all due respect, I own those buildings. There's 2 restrooms in there. There's no building over there that doesn't have a restroom. That's not true. So I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't
that's
know. I just
true.
Got a phone call
yeah,
about
well, the,
it.
And
that's
I understand
all
the
I
phone.
Can say.
I would like to have also, if I could, before I leave, that phone number that I can call.
No, I will not.
Not yours in general, but the one that these people always call on, because we find that a lot of times the information is just not accurate. So that's whoever's saying that, that's not true. So we have 2, we have 3 restrooms on that property. 3 restrooms that are all in perfect
thank
working
you.
Order. Yeah. And then I mean
right.
that with all respect.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
I got just one comment
yes,
about the parking topic, because I have 2 businesses in Tomball too, and parking is a problem that the city's wrestling with now. I know there's discussion about it, and parking's a nightmare today, and it
mm-hmm.
has been for a while. And this isn't, I don't think this is gonna make it worse or better. I mean, it is what it is. It's a free-for-all in the Old Town. You park where you park and you walk around. It works on Saturday.
That's
sometimes
right.
It just works.
And Scott, there's
and when German Fest, I'm not done yet.
No, I'm sorry.
When German Fest is going on, you want to talk about parking nightmare
yeah.
and all the festivals that goes on? Somehow,
it works.
It used to make our restaurants suffer on those, but it doesn't anymore. It just works it out. So I know the city's got plans in the works for parking, and it's coming. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think it's fair to put that on Michael.
And the church back there allows parking. There is tons of parking. People just don't utilize it. The farmer's market space that does take up most of our parking on a Saturday, nobody parks there weekdays because it's got this sort of stigma of being the farmer's market area. So if you go there right now or in the Saturday, there's nobody parking on the farmer's market parking lot. The police station here
okay.
has parking. I'm saying that.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, people
okay,
just
but you're
it,
off
top. Honestly. We had a lady the other day that said, where do I park? And I said, man, there's all these parking lots. You just have to go and find them. And it really isn't that bad of an issue on a regular weekday or a regular Sunday. It's just that farmer's market time.
It's every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, down by y'all, you're true. It's super.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You're done with
we'll
me?
Call you back
okay,
up.
Thank you.
We need you. Does anybody else have any discussion you want to talk about or ask staff? Okay.
I do.
Who said that?
Me.
Oh, okay. Ask.
Could we have staff state one more time exactly what our agenda item and that we'll be deciding?
Yes, ma'am. The only thing that we're considering on this particular item mm-hmm. is the conditional use permit for an open air market.
Right.
And
to to allow owner occupied.
If you approve this today, the conditions that I have listed on this screen, what would be applicable to the site? Now, that is where there is some wiggle room. That's what you're here for. If you want to change any of these conditions, here's your chance. Otherwise, it will move forward as shown.
Can I ask a question?
No. I have a question.
Yes,
too. Are you done? You have any other questions? Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to ask of the commission, are we comfortable with 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, 7 days a week? Because now's our time to change that if we want to. And I'm not a believer in regulating people out into the future,
okay.
But are we comfortable with that?
Well, we have some restaurants that are staying open at 9 and mm-hmm. I think soon to be 10 o'clock as it is already in Old Town. Coffee shop, I think they open at 7 a.m. So 7 a.m., I mean, if it was like midnight, I probably would start having an issue with that, but...
I'm looking at the other end. 7 a.m. Sunday morning, I'm just wondering.
Well, but nobody had a problem with... Nobody said anything when they were given the opportunity. Nobody around there...
Right.
...voiced their opinions one way or another,
right.
So...
Yeah. A lot of it is...
Really, honestly...
There's a lot of come-and-go business
right.
at 7. They stop, get their coffee, get whatever, and then they leave.
Just
so they're not
just
hanging
wanted
out.
To take a breath and ask.
Mm-hmm. No,
all.
I do.
The
but
coffee shop there is not even open on Sunday. There's
mm-hmm.
not a lot going on Sunday anyway. So
yeah, and the just, other coffee shop yeah. that opened, I was told they're not open till 8. I said, okay.
Gotcha.
I do have an issue with every single day them being open till 10 o'clock at night during the week. And I think that 8 or 9 should be fine.
I can address that. I don't really know why that's on there. We're not planning on being anything like
okay.
that. I'm sorry
okay.
that says that.
But this is something that is in our agenda discussion, so.
I think the market is going to dictate the hours. Like, you know, for example, the burger restaurant closes during the week at 3 o'clock.
Right.
But now we're eating at 3 o'clock because it's daylight.
Right.
At night,
sure.
It's dark, you can't see where to park, people aren't going to do it.
Right.
If I had the business to stay open at 10 o'clock, I would, but it simply isn't there.
Right.
It would. I personally don't think 10 o'clock is too late.
So it's self-resolving.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, I would like to see it during the week, like Monday through Thursday. Close by 9, at least. Simply because of the fact that a lot of our residents I live maybe 5 blocks from there, and I can tell you I can hear everything. I don't even need to come down there. I can sit on my porch and hear everything that goes on down there, which is nice when y'all are playing music and stuff. But it does create an issue for the residents in my area who all know I serve on this. And I get complaints constantly because parking is now getting so bad, they're parking at my house. I mean, I came home one day, I couldn't get in my driveway. Somebody decided to occupy it, so I had the car towed off. And... you know, it's just things, like you said, are issues that we have to work through downtown, that as time goes, things will change and develop, and I agree with Scott. Things adjust themselves
mm-hmm.
as time goes by, and that has happened in downtown.
I don't know what time Bonfire closes,
early.
9 or 10 o'clock, I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
But, yeah. As a restaurant operator on Main Street, I don't want to be told I got to close at 9 o'clock. And 10 o'clock, to me, would be restrictive enough as it is. But
I'm not saying he has to close in. What I'm talking about is in reference to this, because this actually is right on the edge of the residential area. I mean, you go and cross Pine Street, and you've got all homes there,
yeah.
And people have kids. That's the other thing that I'm looking at. And that's why I said, my residence is right down there.
I got you.
And, you know, we learn when the festivals and things are over, everybody disappears. It's fine. Mm-hmm. We work with it. But
I hear the pom-pom music in my driveway till 10 o'clock at night during festival time. Mm-hmm. I hear my backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the beer cans in my ditch in my yard. So.
Right. So I totally understand.
It's kind of a charming little town. The German beer is a charm.
Yeah. Anyway. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to add, subtract, change in the conditions of the CUP?
I would prefer that y'all take up the fence issue since the applicant did request that that not be included.
Yeah, I just saw that and was thinking that. So, what are y'all's thoughts on the fence?
Can we amend our motion to include staff's recommendations?
You can do this however you want. I mean, you can add or amend these conditions individually, collectively,
right,
however you think is appropriate.
Well, I think many of these are already in the code. So if we approve the CUP, the conditional use permit subject to these conditions, then we would have these conditions in place, would we not?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's staff's recommendation.
See, and that's what we were looking at, approving their recommendation, which is what?
Right.
Just say with contingencies.
I'm good with the recommendations as listed.
Yes. Pardon?
I'm good with the recommendations as listed by
okay.
staff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. My only concern was the hours during the week.
Yes.
So, because of the fact that there are residents that are that close. And let me tell you, this is something that's pretty new. I like the idea of having mm-hmm. these things going on. I know my kids come, everybody I know comes and goes to these things. We have downtown, but at the same time, we need to be reasonable and consider the residents in the area, whether they showed up or not. So.
To speak to City Attorney's comment on the mm-hmm. fence, I do see where it only says an opaque fence/wall must be provided along the western boundary of Lot 17. Perhaps we should amend that by saying no lesser than 6 feet in height.
I like it.
Or is that already in the code?
It is required by the code as written, but I doubt staff would have a problem with you including that in there.
Okay.
I think the clearer we are, the better.
Yeah, a minimum height's not in here is all I saw.
10 feet.
Oh, 10 foot?
10 foot, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, if you're a resident on the outside, you do an 8-foot fence.
I mean, you can amend. This would be a quasi amendment of your zoning ordinance, anyways. But I don't think staff is recommending 10 feet. I think they're recommending.
Or it could be a minimum of 6 feet.
I don't know.
A minimum of 6 feet.
We have actually done it before.
Anytime you go over 7 feet in height, it does require engineering, so it gets quite complicated for events. So keep that in mind with whatever you decide. But 6 foot minimum is a standard here in the city.
Anytime
you go above.
Okay, if I go to 8.
Yeah.
Okay, will that work?
It requires engineered plans, which gets more complicated for the applicant.
Well, who would be on the other side that this is going to affect?
There's a residence right there, and then there's Pine Street Eatery, and then across Pine Street is where those other homes are. And they start one house down. There's all kids and people.
The majority of this block is commercial, mm-hmm. as it stands today, mm-hmm. save and except for the accessory residence above what Mr. Pierce pointed out. It's like a small instrument repair shop.
Mm-hmm. When they sold the place, people that lived there moved down. They put a business there, and then behind it, there's a big residence above the garage.
So what would be the reason for the 8 foot?
I think 8 foot's reasonable.
I'm just saying, would it be, it's going to keep them from seeing more of the tent or noise?
No, just looking at people. He was talking about vagrants, people hanging out back there. And I that's reasonable for, if it was my house, I would do the engineer plan and I'd put 10 foot, but I'm not, I'm different from most people. So, what's your recommendation? And I'm serious.
The intent was to provide a visual buffer to some degree, as well as some way to mitigate noise. Mm-hmm. And in all reality, elsewhere throughout the city, whenever you have commercial separated by residential, or they're adjacent, mm-hmm. 6 foot minimum is what we ask. So I would say that.
Okay, I'll go with 6, but if it doesn't work, you're going to see me coming around.
You're going to add 2 feet to that.
No, I'll give you that on this, okay? Since it's the first time. You want me to use my little gavel again, Scott? I'll throw it at you.
I was going to gavel.
So, anyway.
Behave yourself. I got my first gavel. I'm getting somewhere.
Yes, you are. Anyway, okay. So I do have a question of staff. It says here, on the very last booths, tents, outdoor displays must adhere to non-regional setback standards of town mixed use bin. It says no minimum, side setback, 20 feet. So that's 20 feet from that fence before that they have to stay away before they can start anything.
So long as that property is utilized for residential purposes.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
If the entire property becomes commercial, well, then that becomes immaterial.
Right.
Until that's the case.
Okay, so 20 foot from that little arch. Got it. So, did you want to address the time?
No, I just asked the question.
Okay.
I think we've discussed it.
Okay, we all
I think everybody seems comfortable.
You got it? Thank you very much. All right, you want to call the vote, call the roll for the vote?
Yes. Commissioner Tang?
Nay.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Motion carries 4 votes aye, 1 vote nay.
Mm-hmm. Motion carries. Okay, F6. Okay, consideration to approve. Case CUP 23-02, request by Idealco Investments, LLC, represented by Michael Pierce, for a conditional use permit to allow mobile food court land use within Old Town and mixed use zoning. The property is legally described as being lots 17 through 24 in block 18 of the revised map of Tomball, located at the southwest corner of Commerce Street and Oak Street, at 401 through 409 Commerce Street within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Steph, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Jared Smith, I'm the city planner for the city of Tomball. This will sound oddly familiar because it's the exact same property. So okay. Here's a location map highlighting the subject property. It's cross-hatched in yellow. It's approximately 0.46 acres located in the southwest corner of North Oak Street and Commerce Street at 401 and through 409 Commerce Street. This property is comprised of 8 total lots that have been in existence within the city of Tomball since 1907. Lots 17 through 21 are vacant at this time. Lots 22 through 24 are currently occupied by 3 structures, which have existed on the subject site since at least 1941. The reason for this request, the applicants are requesting a conditional use permit to allow a mobile food court. In 2017, City Council adopted an ordinance that created a mobile food court land use and the associated development standards. During that time, it was decided that a mobile food court would only be permitted within the Old Town mixed use zoning district with the approval of a conditional use permit, which is the reason why we're considering that this evening. Mobile food court is defined as being a parcel of land where 2 or more mobile food vendors congregate to offer food or beverages for sale to the public as the principal land. As I've stated previously, this conditional use permit provides an opportunity to further consider whether a particular land use is appropriate for a given location, and where such uses are deemed appropriate, a CUP does provide a mechanism to apply certain conditions that promote compatibility with adjacent land uses. Surrounding land uses in this circumstance, to the north and to the east, we have existing single-family residences. Immediately to the west is an existing office, as well as a residence with an Old Town mixed use. and to the south are a mixture of commercial uses that front on Main Street, also within the Old Town mixed-use zoning designation. These photographs look familiar because they're the exact same photos. The top left photo is the subject property. The top middle photo again is the subject property. The remaining photos are the surrounding properties. Just to give you an idea of the character of the area. Current zoning map showing that the subject property is within the Old Town mixed-use zoning district and has been within the zoning district since 2008 when the city first adopted zoning. What you'll notice is all surrounding properties also fall within this Old Town mixed-use zoning district. The OTMU zoning district is intended to provide a zoning mechanism for a variety of uses within the original Tomball Town site. And according to the City of Tomball's code ordinance, this Old Town mixed-use district is an area which already has a wide variety of diverse land uses, and the nature of this area is inherently a mixture of retail, commercial, and other non-residential uses alongside single-family and multi-family residential uses. The comprehensive plan does endorse the continuation of this mixture of land use in the area and specifically states that retail, office, single-family, duplex, and multi-family uses are the most appropriate land uses for this area. The subject property is half a block north of West Main Street, which is a major arterial street that is often considered the heart of downtown Tomball. It is customary to find a wide range of retail, dining, and entertainment opportunities at locations such as this due to its close proximity and access to Main Street. A future land use plan, the property as well as all the surrounding properties are currently within the Old Town future land use category. This category is intended to create a highly walkable environment that promotes a distinct sense of place. Land uses should consist of a mixture of retail, office, residential, entertainment, restaurant, and public facility type uses. The desire to establish a mobile food court at this location will promote the comprehensive plan's goal, specifically by providing a wide variety of restaurant and entertainment opportunities in the Old Town Tomball. And which is in close proximity to nearby residential neighborhoods. This proximity to downtown residential neighborhoods further encourages the comprehensive plan's objective of creating a dynamic mixture of land uses within a walkable environment. Additionally, the request promotes the goals of creating opportunities to promote Old Town Tomball and its local entrepreneurship within the Old Town area. Once again, here is the graphic concept plan, which was originally provided by the applicant at the time of submittal. He has also furnished us with an updated concept plan, which highlights kind of how the arrangement of the food trucks will be laid out on this site, generally speaking. Notification map showing a notification area, which is 300 feet in radius from the subject property. All owners of properties within that 300-foot radius were notified of this request, and we have received zero responses in favor and zero in opposition. City staff has found this request to be consistent with the comprehensive plan and the Old Town mixed-use zoning designation, and we are recommending approval to you all today on CP 2302, subject to the conditions which are outlined on this slide, which you are all going to be very familiar with because they look almost identical, save and except for the number of vendors. In this instance, no more than four mobile food vendors will be permitted within the boundaries of the CUP. So it's not on any given lot, but four total. Restaurant facilities, the same circumstance. They are allowed to be provided within the adjacent buildings within the CUP. And they also, one other difference is they must adhere to section 50-116J, which are the site development standards for the mobile food courts here in the city of Tomball. And again, we are asking for an opaque fence or wall along the western boundary. And then the setback standards are they are the exact same as for the mobile food, the previous consideration for the outdoor open air market. So it's no setback from the front, no setback from the rear, no setback from the side when it is commercial, and then a minimum of 20 feet of separation from residential zoning districts or uses. That is on the side of the property. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
The applicant, would you please come forward and state your case regarding this item? state your name and address again for the records.
Hello, my name is Michael Pierce, I'm at 13607 Arc Highway.
Thank you.
Am I supposed to make a presentation? I'm sorry. Okay. So yeah, we're, and again, I do apologize because I thought this was all in one CPU. I didn't realize it was broken too, so I apologize for the redundancy. So we are submitting an approval for this whole entire land area to be this food court, art market, and the shops and everything all in one big thing. So we are asking permission for no more than 3 food trucks, which will be on the alley side of this property. And I mean, that's, I pretty much made the presentation earlier. I don't know.
Okay.
If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. We think it's a low impact on the area. We think it's perfect, family-friendly space where people can gather, eat, sit, shop, drink, and then have our and we and this is probably where the hours came in, because these will be food trucks that would be from 7 to 10, whereas the art market would not be those sort of hours at all. And that's, I don't want to say too much for fear that it was already been quite contingent. I feel like some of them better cool my britches, as they say.
Okay.
And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
All right. Thank you. We're going to hold a public hearing now. Public hearing on case CUP 23-02 is now called to order. The record shows the time is now 7:21 p.m. Do we have anybody signed up for this?
No, anyone do not.
No? Okay. There's no one. Anyone like to speak regarding this? Seeing none. Let the record show that the public hearing is now closed and the time is 7:22 p.m. Okay, may I have a motion to approve case CUP 23-02?
I move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you.
Just for clarification, the motion and second do include all the conditions.
With all contingencies?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I should have said
that.
Commissioner Ross, second. Okay, discussion. Questions? Sorry.
Okay, questions? You want to come back up for a second?
Mr. Pierce?
So, 3 food trucks is the plan. You'll have the hookups. Is that part of the code? Like, yeah, okay. On the menu, I think you got crawfish plant?
Yes, sir.
Okay, which I'll be there. I like crawfish. Getting rid of the boil, how's that work on a food truck?
So I can bring Todd up. He's good. He's the one that's running that truck. He can answer those questions for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you state your name and address for the record, please?
Todd Johnson, 1063 Ginger Glade Lane, Pinehurst, Texas, 77362. We're taking to a commissary. So we were in business in Galveston and in Bayou Vista for like 4 years, but I live up here, so I was having to go and spend the whole weekend down there, and it wasn't good for my home life. And so we think this would be ideal. We did. We won all kinds of awards. They sent us off to Alabama. We won awards there. So the food is very good, and we only want to be good neighbors. That's all we want to do.
I'm just curious how you get rid of the,
right.
You take gallons and gallons, so gallons of leftover oil is seasoned.
Yeah.
It's not very friendly to the environment. So how do you get rid of that? How do you transport that?
403 Eats has, we're working with them.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That was a question. 403 Eats.
Okay.
We would take it to a place, I mean, to their commissary or whatever, and that has a dump.
Yeah, so, right. So they're good with that?
So far, that's been the agreement. Yeah, we have to nail that down. We would do that before we proceed with anything.
Okay, so how do you transport it? What do you transport it in, and how often are you going to do it?
Pickup truck. I mean, it's in a pot that uh-huh. 2 people can pick up, put in the back of a pickup truck. It doesn't come all the way to the top of the pot. You know, it's about 2/3 of the way full.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to spill on the way, driving a few blocks, but dump it.
Mm-hmm. So, and you do that throughout the day?
No, typically you cook a couple days in the same boil. I mean,
use the same water for a couple days?
Yes. Typically, yes. Have you ever had crawfish?
No, I don't like it.
Okay, well, there you go. But
no, but that's...
It tastes better. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just boiling water. So.
Okay. I'm not going to use it, so it doesn't matter. But I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly.
Do you season it after or just in boil only?
We put a little olive oil on top of it after, too.
And the raw crawfish, the live crawfish, you got enough room on the trailer to store what you need to boil, or do you have that?
We do. Well, I'll have a cooler or something. And ideally, once we kind of know that this is going to work, I would like to maybe try to put some little structure out there that we could maybe put some type of cooler in that would keep them, they can't freeze or they'll die, but where it would keep them at 35 or 40 degrees so that they would go into their sleeping mode like they do.
Okay.
When you say in a cooler, that's going to be outside the truck then?
Well, we don't really know yet. I have a couple of big Yetis that will hold 5 or 6 sacks of crawfish and we keep them on ice.
And will you purge them outside the truck too and drain that water?
Well, really purge crawfish per se. I mean, if you put a bunch of salt in there, it kills them.
Okay.
They're fresh water. But you wash them.
Yeah.
But that would just be water.
Okay, you wouldn't use any salt to purge
no,
that at all?
You just wash them off.
Okay.
Okay. Commissioner Moore, any other questions?
No.
Okay. And do you have a license to sell those?
I do, yes.
Okay. I'll make sure. And you're speaking to the 403 Eats Food Court Commissary. All right.
If not, we'll find another one.
Yes. There's another commissary down 29-20. We just like for it to be as convenient as possible.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, these gentlemen? Okay.
Thank you.
So, any other questions? Anyone? You had a question about Commissioner Ross?
No.
Don't you? Okay. I'm sitting here looking at site development standards for mobile food courts. Now, what about electricity and all that? Will that be in who's going to handle that?
The applicant is here to answer that question, but it is outlined in that section of the Code of Ordinance.
Right, I know. So he'll have to do it just like we've got it here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's all I needed. Anybody have any other questions? Okay. Commissioner Anderson, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tague?
Nay.
Motion carries 4 votes aye, 1 vote nay.
All right. Could I have a motion to adjourn, please?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson.
I second.
Who said that?
Harris.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Would you call the roll really fast?
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tague?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay.
Meeting adjourned.
The meeting is now adjourned and the time is what?
7:29.
Anything for me before I take
off? Well, it's great.
Which one?